Make me stronger. Yes, and amen. That's so beautiful. Thank you, Gino and band. And we send love to Brother Rex, our drummer, who is in Santa Barbara, having an unfortunate time trying to get down here, so he's decided to stay home today. So the talk title this morning is Service is the New Sexy. You have to do a little hip wiggle when you say that. Service is the new sexy. Everybody, service is the new sexy. Okay, I didn't see your hips wiggle. No, okay, no, that's okay. And really, you know, the reason I could have gone with a different word is because it's Gino's fault. Okay. Because Gino and I for years have been calling each other sexy. Hi, sexy.
Hey, sexy.
Hey, sexy. And Gino, in fact, has been known to like bellow it in a grocery store. When I've run into her in the grocery store, she'll bellow, "Hey, sexy!" And I'll be like, "Oh, me? Okay, right." I did look. Yeah, I did. Like, who's sexy? Oh, yeah. So, and then. After I'd already had the talk title printed and it went on the website and on the newsletter and everything, I just thought, maybe you should rethink that talk title. Because as I try and explain why service is the new sexy, everything sounds like innuendo. You know, and I'm trying to give that up, okay? trying to give that up. In public. Yeah, I know, you're right, it's not going to last. I'm trying, but it's not going to last. So if you want to think of it as service as the new sassy, and the reason service is the new sassy or sexy or whatever, see, it's going to come out, okay. It's because if you serve, let's put it this way, if you serve long enough, if you do it long enough, it starts to feel really good. That's what she said. I did a really good job of giving up innuendo, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah, that was impressive, Vaughn. Okay. All right. Pray for me, people. Okay. So, yeah, thank you. So, you know, the real reason I think that that service is what I said is that, you know, we have a lot of falsehoods around service. I think that there's a whole lot of, from our Judeo-Christian upbringing or whatever we were raised, I think this is probably true with a lot of religions because it's true for the human race, is that it's easy for us to feel inadequate. And I suspect that there are times that we feel like we're just not doing enough and that we somehow need to do more in order to make a difference. And I'd like to spend today kind of looking at the finer points of service and dispelling some of the falsehoods and myths that we have around service. Because with just tiny acts of service that we do consistently, relentlessly, we can totally change our consciousness and we can totally change the world. So that's what we're about today. There's another reason why service is the new sexy. Because service is extremely paradoxical. Service is paradoxical. Now, you guys who go here a lot know that I'm obsessed with paradox, that I am, in fact, a paradork, which is someone who is obsessed with paradox. And paradox is when there's two things that kind of go together, but they don't really make sense. You can't really reconcile them. For example, one of the spiritual paradoxes is from a lot of paradoxes in the St. Francis Prayer, but the one that I'm fond of quoting is, "It is in giving that you receive," right? The ego can't quite get that. It can't wrap itself around that it is in giving that I receive. No, it's in hoarding that I receive, isn't it? The ego says. But no, it's in giving that you receive. And so one of the paradoxes of service is so beautifully stated by Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan mystic. He says that the way up is down. The way up is down. That is a paradox, right? That's a big paradox. The way up is down. I'll explain a little bit more of what I mean by that. I read an article by Richard Rohr yesterday as I was preparing for this talk, and it's called Climbing Up the Down Escalator. Has anyone ever tried that?
Yeah.
Have you been successful? I know, same here. But it's not as easy as just going with the flow, is it? Just going down the down escalator and going up the up escalator. But the new up is down. Richard Rohr talks about how when the early Christians, or past the early Christians, when it started getting organized, that they borrowed a lot from the Greeks and the Romans. And in the Greek and Roman philosophy, there was a lot of heroism and there was a lot of stoicism. So there were the heroics and the stoics. And so both of those things, heroism and stoicism, appeal to the ego. Right? The hero thinks that we need to make a grandiose gesture and be more than enough in order to reach God. That is the path of ascent to God. And the Stoics feel like if I suffer long enough, if I deprive myself long enough, then that will impress God. And you can see how both of those things appeal to the ego, right? They both completely appeal to the ego. Whereas Richard Rohr says that the Christian message, that the true Christian message was immortalized in this representative called Jesus the Christ. Now, in this center, we believe that Jesus is not the great exception, that he is the great example, that we all and all faiths have a Christ consciousness within them, and that we all have the capacity to evolve as that Christ consciousness, right? So it's not just if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go someplace, you know, scary when you die. It's more that we all have the capacity to evolve in Christ consciousness. But anyway, the example of the Christ that Richard Rohr talks about is that he was one with God and he descended into earth. And when he was here on earth, he did not hang out with the high people. He hung out with the low people, right? With the lepers and the prostitutes and the sinners and all of that. The really fun people, right? So he says, Richard Rohr says that it's absurd to think that this path of the ego of trying to ascend to God and trying to torture ourselves so that God will be impressed, that is just ridiculous when we look at the life of the Christ, right? And the truth is that we are all that Christ consciousness. We are all moving into we all came from the void, from the great absolute reality that is God. We all moved into these human bodies so that we could express and so that we could walk on that narrow way that is so beautiful, that is so beyond our human software, but that is so completely perfect for us. Absolute reality, that place that embraces the opposites of good and evil, that place that embraces the opposites of darkness and light, that place that embraces the opposites of joy and sorrow, that place that embraces the opposites of striving and putting ourselves down, that beautiful center place that is Rumi's field out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing. There is a field, I will meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Because we don't have the words to describe that place. But if we serve from a conscious and beautiful place, we can have the feeling, we can have the experience, and then we can share it with others. Gandhi said the same thing, pretty much as Richard Rohr and Jesus the Christ. Gandhi said that to find yourself, you must lose yourself in the service of others. To find yourself, you must lose yourself in the service of others. And that's another paradox, isn't it? Right? So how do we lose ourselves in service to others? Well, many of you who attend here regularly know that I went to India last year, about a year ago. And while I was there, I was there with about 60 or so compassionate leaders, world leaders in compassion and getting stuff done, kindness, changing the world through inner transformation, all of those qualities. And while we were there, we studied seven questions that were kind of based on Gandhian principles. And one of the questions, the second principle that we studied, was that the way to serve is to cultivate untiring mind. To cultivate untiring mind. Now, myself, and it was interesting that I have been talking about this for about a year with some friends that live around the world, a woman in the Philippines and another man who lives he lives in Florida now, but he's from Malta. But anyway, all three of us went to that place of, wow, untiring mind, that means I need to do more. I need to stress myself out and do more. I'm not doing enough. And you see how easy it is to go to that place of should. I should have an untiring mind. I should be able to do everything. I should be able to work 18 hours a day in service of others. I just spoke with them on the phone recently. We did a conference call, and we were still kind of talking about that. My friend in the Philippines, she's an actress, and she has lots going on, and she works in the prisons and all kinds of stuff, and she was talking about how she's struggling with cultivating untiring mind. And after we hung up, I started meditating on that. What is really untiring mind? And it occurred to me that maybe it's something very different than what we think it is. Did anybody overeat over the holidays? Raise your hand if you once. Yeah. So I gained 11 pounds over the holidays. Aren't you proud of me? I'm a big girl now. Yeah. So the gaining of 11 pounds was really a gift, because as I started releasing sugar and caffeine and starting going back to eating a really clean and healthy diet, I said to myself, oh my goodness, this is untiring mind. This willingness to take care of myself, to stop what I'm doing instead of going to 7-Eleven to get a cookie for lunch, or Starbucks, or any other place they have great cookies, right? to just stop and cook something nutritious, to chop up some vegetables instead of grabbing some raisinettes, because there's a fruit in there, isn't there, right? Yeah. This is untiring mind. What if cultivating untiring mind, or at least a part of it, a part of cultivating untiring mind, is to take exquisite care of the body temple so that we may be more present to use our gifts joyfully in service to the world. Will you all commit to taking good care of your body temple? Now, let me warn you, there are Girl Scout cookies right through that door there. I bought some of them and I brought them in because I don't want to eat them. But you know, if some people are not sugar addicts like I am, maybe you can have one or two and not be completely addicted. But really, seriously, here, in this moment, can you commit to just one thing that you're going to do to take care of your body temple so that you can be more present and in greater service to the joy that wants to rise up within you and bless the world? Are you feeling it? Yay, hallelujah. Okay then. All right. So after I had that revelation about that part of cultivating untiring mind is cultivating the ability to care for ourselves exquisitely, I actually looked back at my notes that I took while I was in India about that portion of the time we spent together, the lecture and the conversation about cultivating untiring mind. Do you know that nowhere did it say to cultivate untiring mind, it means you need to say that you're not enough and work yourself to death? It did not say that anywhere. What it did say, however, was three ways that we can cultivate untiring mind. And those ways are reverence, gratitude, and detachment from the outcome. How's that sound? Good? Sounds kind of sexy, right? The point is to do what we do, to serve, whether it's formal service or whether it's what you already do, with those concepts in mind. Do what we do with reverence. Do what we do with a sense of gratitude. Do what we do with a detachment from the outcome. And then life becomes incredibly beautiful, and the whole world becomes service. Everything we do becomes service. Everything. I saw this in action the other night. I attended the Circle of Blessings meeting at Reverend Judy Pando's house. We have two wonderful leaders that are combining their ministries, Reverend Judy Pando and Lucky Lynch, Reverend Lucky Lynch. I just promoted you to Reverend, but you deserve it. Lucky Lynch has been running the outreach ministry, which takes care of procuring items for various organizations like Step Up Ventura, which is an organization for homeless children. And the Circle of Blessings team takes care of people in the congregation who have a need. So it's outreach and inreach. And in this meeting, we consolidated them into something that we're calling the kindness connection. Because kindness is such an important part of this ministry here, of this center. You know, our mission statement, a center of love, be love, share love, serve love. Notice I had to read it. I couldn't remember it for a minute. Be love, share love, serve love. You know, kindness is the delivery system for all of that love. Kindness is how we get that love out of ourselves and into the world so that it ripples out and out and out and then comes back and blesses us. And so we're forming this group called the Kindness Connection, and this is the group that is inviting all of us to create construction paper hearts back in Stanley's Hall after the service, and then we're going, whether willing, and I think it's going to cooperate. I prayed about it. I think it's going to cooperate. That we're going to go over to Temple Beth Torah, where they had an unfortunate incident of somebody painting a swastika on their sign. We're going to take a picture holding the hearts by the sign, and then we're going to send that picture to our Jewish brothers and sisters as a Valentine. Their rabbi, Rabbi Lisa, is a good friend of mine, and she knows that we're coming, and she'll probably meet and greet us if she's still there by the time we get over there. And so on Monday night, we were doing the preparation for that. We were creating the hearts. Now, one of the things that I loved about being in India was that when you had a need, everybody rushed in to take care of that need. People were so intent on serving. For example, I've shared this before. If you finished your meal and you had a dirty plate, you would try to go. I would try and go to wash it, and then somebody would intercept me, like, "No, no, no! You're not washing your own plate." And they would take it out of my hand and wash it for me. I had several tug of wars over plates that I wanted to wash. Well, that was happening at the Circle of Blessings meeting, at the Kindness Connection meeting. People were fighting, like roller derby girls, and Kevin, where's Kevin? And Kevin, roller derby girls, I'm exaggerating, okay, but, you know, trying to get to those hearts so they could cut them out. People really wanted to cut out these hearts. I wanted to cut out a heart, but there weren't any pieces of paper left by the time I got there. People were working on them. But I mentioned it in passing, and then Carol Linda very kindly brought me some of her hearts so that I could have the opportunity to cut out a heart. Everybody was looking for opportunities to be kind and to serve one another. So I have reverence for that. That's where reverence starts coming in, when you start to see that the whole world is for us and that everything is looking to serve us, like the poem that Hugh read about how nature serves us and our bodies serve us and everything is there to serve us so that we may serve in a greater and more beautiful and more pristine and pure way, truly coming from the heart, truly coming from hope, truly coming from joy. So that's reverence. And then the gratitude piece. Oh my goodness, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be part of a community like this, where people will get together, where people will do the insanely simple activity of cutting out construction paper hearts and holding it up to a sign and thinking that's a really good idea. Because it is. It seems like such a little thing. You know, the old German Stoic in me wants to say that's not enough. You need to do more. You need to end racism. No. Standing by the sign with a paper heart, even if it's just one of us, and taking a picture and sending it to the people at Temple Beth Torah to say, we love you. We love you. We support you. We stand with you. That is a huge thing. And so I'm so grateful to be part of a community and a subset of a community in the Kindness Connection team that actually knows that. And then release of the outcome. Release of the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen. I said that I prayed for good weather, but I only did a little prayer because I trust. It's not a big prayer. Are there big and little prayers? That's another, yeah, that's another whole topic. I only did a little prayer because I really trust that the weather will be what it will be. And you know, if we were supposed to be there this Sunday, we will. If we're not supposed to be there, if there's a downpour, there's a good reason for us to be there next Sunday if there's a downpour. So whatever happens, it's all God. It's all God. Whatever happens in our life, it's all God. Is it all God? Yes, it is. How did you know? It's all God, and it's all an opportunity to serve the greater good and the greater yet to be as well. To pull that impulse to serve out of ourselves with such love and such tenderness and to radiate it out into the world. What could be better than that? Seriously, what could be better than that? Now, I'm inviting you to start small if you want. And on the back of your flyers, you have a list of small yet significant acts of kindness at Ventura Center for Spiritual Living. I'm going to look at that list with you. You're going to love the first one. Park a little farther from the church so someone else can park closer. Bring some food to share for prasad after the service. Get a prayer from a practitioner after the service. Have a conversation with someone and practice deep listening. Share from the heart something that you learned today in the service, something that you learned about yourself. Talk to someone that you don't know. Approach a stranger. Sign up to care for and or socialize with our bunnies, Emma and Waldo. We have rabbits at this church outside, and there's a sign-up sheet in Stanley's Hall with some explanation of what's involved. Take a ministry bulletin, we've got these little booklets, and discover where you might enjoy serving here. Practice what we call the Menal principle. Menal is a woman's name. And tell someone here at the center specifically how they had a positive impact on you. Ask, what can I give to this moment? Stay vigilant for unique ways to serve and practice kindness. And tell someone about our great center of love. Now, the beauty of all of those things is that they're really simple. You can do, every single person sitting here can do at least one of those today before you leave, if you want to. If you don't feel like it, then don't do it. Just if you want to, okay? But the other thing, too, is that they all transfer. They all transfer to wherever you work, wherever you live, to your families, to practice deep listening, to practice sharing something from the heart, to put something back in its place, to serve somebody dinner, serve somebody food, whatever. It's all tiny little simple acts, and done with that spirit of reverence and gratitude and detachment from outcome, that's what changes our heart. That's what makes a difference. That's what creates untiring mind. And then, just to prove that these principles make a difference in a big way in our lives and the lives around the world, I'm going to invite Ms. Shelley Eller, the recipient of the flowers, to come up and tell us a little bit about what she's been working with. Let's give her some love. Hi. You got the black memo.
You've got the
I know, I know.
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
This last week, my son's school, Mesa Union in Somas, participated in the Great Kindness Challenge. And if you weren't here in December when I shared about the challenge, let me tell you really quick what it's about. It started in 2011 as a way to teach children kindness in schools. And essentially, there's a checklist of 50 acts of kindness that throughout the week, the children are challenged to do 10 acts of service every day. By the end of the week, they will have performed 50 acts of service. I thought that this was a really great idea, and I shared it with our school's principal and vice principal, and they loved it. They were very welcoming, and this last week, not only did we do the Great Kindness Challenge, but our school created a kindness week. And it was such a special, special week. I love that they added additional challenges for the students and for the parents and families. For example, on Monday, the student challenge was smile and say hi to 10 new people. And the parent family challenge was parents and children exchange praises or positive comments about each other before the students start their school day. And on Tuesday, the student challenge was write a thank you card to someone at school. And I love that at school they set up a thank you card booth, that at recess time the kids could go and write thank you cards. And my son did. He wrote one to a friend, and he wouldn't have done that. I thought that was so neat. And the parent challenge was write a thank you note to your mailman. Really, really special. They asked me to kick off Kindness Week on Monday by doing a kindness assembly to all 600 kids. And I did 6 assemblies that morning. Kindergarten, first grade, second and third, fourth and fifth, sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade.
Thank you.
And what an experience it was to go from speaking from the kindergarten and first graders with ants in their pants and everyone wants to share and tell you something on topic or off to the eighth, seventh, and eighth graders, you're pulling teeth to get them to say anything. But it was all perfect, exactly as it was. And, you know, it was so funny, the little ones, they want to share everything. And I said, can someone tell me something really nice to say to another person? And this little girl raises her hand, and I said, what? And she says, I really like your hair. And I said, I know, isn't that such a nice thing to say to someone? I'd love that. And the little girl sitting next to her, she raises her hand. I said, what do you think is a nice thing to say? And she said, I really like your hair. adorable. And I started the assembly using the metaphor of a superhero. And I shared with them that superheroes use their superpowers to find people to help. And that superheroes go about their days looking for people to help. And they use their super senses that they know when someone's in need that they help immediately. And they don't stop and think, should I help? And someone else will do it. They help immediately. And I shared with them that they can be superheroes every single day because everyone has a superpower within the power of kindness. And I shared with them that I would like them to start the very next day, that when they wake up in the morning, when their eyes pop open, that they can say, I choose kindness. And everyone said, I choose kindness. Yeah. And I said, and when you step foot on this campus here at school, I want you to look for ways to be kind. Because whatever we look for, we find, right? And everyone said, I look for ways to choose kindness. I said, and when you hear that little super sense and it tells you that person needs help, help them without pause. Help them. And I think it was really, really well received. And when I left that day, the kindergartners and first graders were at recess, and a bunch of them ran up to me with these big smiles, just gave me a hug. And I just looked at them and said, thank you for your kindness. Oh, I'm going to pass that on today. And a little boy walked up to me, and he's holding these kickballs. And he smiles, and he says, I'm going to go put these back where they belong. And it really filled my heart. It just reminds me how blessed I am to be here. And so I want to thank all of you. We're all in this together. I had this idea, but it didn't come from me. It came through me. It came through this center. It rippled through this center. It rippled through all of us, through Reverend Bonnie, all the way back from through India and all of it. So thank you, all of you, for your love. And what a blessing it is every day to be here to learn the truth of who I am through the power and love of kindness. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Beautiful. Thank you. One more thing. Please repeat after me. Shelley, we like your hair. And so it is. Let us pray.